Hello and welcome to another episode of Little Less Conversation. Obviously, this is a post-season episode. Let's start with the highlight of the season, and that's Chelsea winning the Champions League.
You know what? I'm dreading this pod. Do you know what? I actually thought that it was going to go the other way, so I thought we'd have something to really, really wind you off about, but it's actually met you and your high horse, and we watched it together, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, and all I can say is, Champions, Champions, ole, ole, ole.
Of course, this is all I heard that night as well.
Apparently, I was singing that into the early hours, apparently 4 in the morning, I was still singing that.
I'm glad you used apparently, because, I have no recollection of the game now, because that's past my memory too.
I was going to say, I was pretty smashed, I don't really remember the night after a certain point, but yeah. That one will forever live in my memories.
Hello, and the trio shirts that you've now got.
Yeah, I dropped a bit of money on the shirts, so to complete the collections, I've got all three now.
Yeah. Did you get anything on the back? Champions?
Nah, I can't be arsed with that.
Dickhead.
I saved that for next season, but I saw there were the new shirts that go like had champions, European champions 21 on the back. But to be honest with you, I think they look quite naff. And they had two stars on them as well, which is pretty cool, but it's not for me. I'd rather just have a plain shirt. I considered getting Havertz on one of them, but even then, it's not for me.
Better off getting Mount after him. I think man of the match, was he?
I think Kante was man of the match. But
was he? Yeah. It was. But both those players had a phenomenal game.
Yeah, I think Kante was exceptionally good. And over the last four games in the Champions League, he's been man of the match in every game. So, you know, he pretty much won the trophy for us in the end.
Hasn't he? He's won all honours now in football.
Yeah, he's won everything.
That's mental. Mental. Actually,
maybe not the Euros.
Not the Euros. Yeah. That might happen, exactly. let's hope not for our sake, but...
Well, we'll get onto that in a bit. The Champions League win was crazy, and it felt like everyone was against us. All of you lot, all you know.
Yeah, Arsenal. I mean, in fairness, I mean, you lot played well. The only reason I was against you is because, you know, I don't want Chelsea to be winning another European title. And I think when I saw the stat, like, it's your fourth one in like 5 years or something. It's like, yeah. It's ridiculous. But yeah, well deserved in the end. And I think partly down to Man City being really poor.
Yeah, I think we stopped them quite well. I mean, we put on a really good defensive performance. There were some blocks and stuff that were just insane, from like Rudiger, Christensen, Aspilicueta. Like, on any other day, one of those wouldn't have come off and, you know, City would have scored. But everything just sort of fell our way. And we were definitely the better team. And I think Pep got it wrong. I mean, Tuchel's in his head. But yeah, good for next year.
It is. And that Mount through ball for a Havertz winner, what turned out to be the winner. Unbelievable ball that.
Yeah, and on that note, just a quick shout out to my neighbour who was obviously watching it on BT Sports while we were watching it on YouTube, because we were 30 seconds behind or something like that, and he's banging on the wall when Havertz scored. And we were just thinking, what the hell is going on? Why is he banging on the wall? And then obviously we saw the goal. So thank you for spoiling it for us. You're a legend, and you're also an Arsenal fan as well. So, you know.
I think next time you should just pay for BT Sports and not stick to the free YouTube channels.
Nah.
But does that, I guess, what was sort of a little bit of a disappointing end to the season with the FA Cup, I guess, was that just sweetened up by the Champions League victory? I guess that tops it all, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, I don't even care about the FA Cup anymore, to be honest with you. It's just gone. It's been erased from, the memory. Like, honestly, I couldn't care less. And like, I saw some Leicester fans on the Sunday after we won. And obviously, they're still gassed about the FA Cup win. But you could see it in their faces that, you know, but they could probably see it in my face, actually, that I just didn't give a shit. I was so over the moon about winning the Champions League.
Probably rightly so as a fan. Like, I wish, annoyingly, as an Arsenal fan, I wish I could feel the same. But it feels like European disappointment is just written in our written in our core club values or something. I don't know, man. First Barcelona against Barcelona, and I know it's European UEFA Cup, Europa Cup against Chelsea and Baku, but just more heartbreak. Wish we want to see some European success, really, man.
Well, I guess you're not the only ones in that category, because United also lost. It was a mad penalty shootout. I don't know if you caught it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. That was in the week. It was midweek game, wasn't it? The Wednesday before the Champions League final.
Yeah. And David De Gea put on a penalty masterclass, how not to save a penalty and how not to score one. So, yeah, shout out to De Gea.
Yeah, that was intense. Was it 11 pens? Ridiculous.
Yeah. And I think they were all pretty good. There was a few dodgy ones from United, but all the Villarreal penalties were pretty sick, to be honest with you.
Yeah, big shout out to Francis Coquelin. I think he took the best one of the lot.
Yeah, top bins.
Well, hopefully it'll be us in the final soon. You know, like you say, you've got to be in it to win it. So we're going to be a few years out, but...
Well, it's going to be a big summer. Obviously, there's going to be quite a bit of transfer action, I think. We've already seen a few things happening with Wijnaldum, you know, doing a U-turn on Barca and ending up at PSG. And you've got Emi Bundia going to Aston Villa. So
you say Big Bunda? What did you just say?
Big Bunda going to Aston Villa.
Wee! Yeah. Yeah, he was linked with Arsenal, but I'm kind of glad we didn't. He's not going to be our signing, because I reckon that would have been a marquee signing, and I don't think he's not worth 40 million, whatever Villa going to end up paying for him.
Well, yeah, probably not, but it says a lot when Aston Villa are outbidding you.
Now we've got bigger targets, so I'm confident.
And just to put it into perspective, you're buying someone from Norwich as well, or you're trying to, and Aston Villa have come in and blown you out of the water, so...
That's worrying. Probably his level anyway, and we might cop Grealish on the back of that. So I'll be happy if that happens.
You know what? He could have the shittest season next season, as long as he scores home and away against Arsenal, or assists home and away against Arsenal. Couldn't care less. It'd be brilliant.
Oh, enough about transfer rumors. They've been doing my head around already, and it's not even, the transfer window's not even open yet, fully. Well, officially anyway.
I was going to say, we'll probably do an episode later in the summer or towards the start of the season about transfers and all that stuff. But until then, we'll leave it at that. Season done and dusted. Chelsea champions of Europe. Arsenal in the bin. What more do you want?
I was going to say, Arsenal down in the dumps is the perfect way to describe it.
What a season, eh? What a season.
For fuck's sake.
So now that the Premier League season's wrapped up, we move onwards and, well, upwards, I guess, onto the European Championships. They should have taken place last year. Thanks to COVID, they're now this year. And, safe to say England are one of the favourites to win.
Yeah. I mean, again, weird to say that it's Euro 2020, but rivalries now aside, and we're going to come collectively together to, you know, like I said, start singing and... football's coming home could be a reality in, maybe 6 weeks, maybe less.
Yeah, well, you say that. I mean, was it the World Cup a few years back? Obviously, same sort of vibe. And we got all the way to the semis that time. And hopefully the team can sort of go one step further this year and pull off a massive, what would be a massive win for the country, really. But I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm a bit sceptical in terms of their just watching them play in the warm-up games and stuff like that. They haven't been great, but it's obviously not a full squad. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't know how you feel about it.
I know. I mean, I think it's kind of weird because in the friendly, like warm-up games, you're kind of, you know, you're hoping that he's going to play almost near enough the team that he's going to start with, because it does seem like, obviously, he played a lot of friendly. He played players that, like, aren't even in the squad. Like, surely, I know, look, they've had a big season, but, you know, start to get a feel of what kind of team we're going to put out. I know he might know it, but, like, a couple of games together, they would have gelled nicely. Like, you're going into your first game against Croatia, I think it is, and, like, you know, the team, you know, we don't even know who the first team's going to be, really. It's a bit odd.
It is. I mean, it's a tough first game as well. You know, Croatia's not an easy first game. But I think he's in a way, it's unfortunate for him that Chelsea, City and United all got to European finals, because that just delayed the squad getting, well, the full squad getting together this week, because they do need a little bit of a break coming off such a high as well. Well, not all of them coming off a high, I guess. Just the London clubs. Just the London clubs, sorry, not the Manchester clubs, but they do need a break. And yeah, it wouldn't, you don't want to risk them getting injured as well, because some of them are like key players.
Yeah, yeah.
Mount, Foden, Rashford, Shaw. I know Rashford and Shaw played yesterday against Romania. So, you know, they'll gel in, and I'm sure they'll just slot straight into the team come Sunday. But yeah, I'm a bit worried. I feel like Croatia are going to, they might do us over. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what Timo puts out. I mean, even going back to the actual selection of the Euros, I know it was a big, big sort of, you know, big thing initially with Trent. You know, they were saying that he was going to miss out. Eventually got, actually made the team, and then unfortunately got injured. So worked out well for Southgate, because he's covered his back either way.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of okey cokey in it, in out shaking about. But I think Southgate sort of was covering his tracks a little bit by just including Trent. I think it was 5 right backs in total he put in that squad.
I think 4 or 5. Yeah.
Ridiculous, man. I'm surprised he just didn't throw in Wan-Bissaka for good measure as well. Just for jokes, you know. But
he's now at Congo, isn't he? He's changed his nationality or whatever it is.
Oh, has he switched allegiance?
He switched allegiance, that's it.
I don't blame him. I really don't blame him, to be honest with you, because the way he's been treated is quite bad. He's a good right back, man, but fair enough, there's a lot of competition there.
Yeah, yeah.
We've seen similar things in the past with players like Wilf Zaha and players like that who could have probably made it for England. But yeah, timing is everything, I guess. But
I mean, when the squad was announced, and if I didn't see Saka's name on it, I would have been fuming. But because he's in that squad, I'm happy. I think he deserved to be there, and I think he'll play some sort of part. And actually, you know, coming off the bench, I don't think he'll start, but coming off the bench. It'd be a good player to watch. I see him grow, hopefully. And if we get far, you never know. You never know where he might end up, because he's so versatile.
That's made your season, isn't it?
I know. I mean, look, like I said, we're down in the dumps, Arsenal. But the only shining light of that is this golden child in young Bukayo Saka.
Nah, I can't lie. I think he deserves it. He deserves his place in the squad. I know he fell off towards the end of the season a little bit, but that's probably due to burnout and him just being so young. But it's a good experience for him, even if he doesn't play much, just to be in and amongst the squad. And I think he can definitely make an impact off the bench. I think he'll surprise a few defences. I think if he plays in an attacking role, he might even get the odd goal or just assist or something important. But we'll see how he gets on. Going back to we were talking about the teams for Sunday. Should we run through who we would pick if we were Southgate? Who would pick in our starting 11 to face Croatia?
Yeah, I think that's a good shout. I mean, like I say, nobody knows what Southgate's going to do. Like I said, he's going to go with about 8 defenders and then a couple of attackers. And that's Southgate's tactics, isn't it? You know, defend as much as you can, hit on the break. I don't know. I mean, if that was me, if I'm the attacking man, you know, if I'm the England manager and with the attacking talent on display, you know, just go all out. That's what I would do.
Go all out and lose to Hungary, lose to Scotland, lose to Croatia.
I don't actually mind if we lose to Scotland, because Kieran Tierney, man, he's going to be up there. Oh, I love it if he actually got the winner against England. Either way.
Really?
Yeah, I know, I'm an England fan, but I like Tierney. And if he's the one, well, if England go out, I'm going to be supporting Scotland. So
I'd obviously be happy if Gilmore has a good game against England, because he's a Chelsea player. But if he knocked us out, I think I'd be devastated.
Nah, you're going to get Gilmore in the back of your shot. I'm going to get it printed for you if he does knock England out.
It could be worse. It could be Robertson or someone like that who does it. So.
Oh, Robertson, hating prick. But yeah, going back to that, I think, yeah, if you were England manager, if you're in his shoes, you've got your team, that's the squad. I guess, yeah, who would your team be?
Yeah, so do you want me to start off or?
Yeah, let's go through it. Let's run through it, I guess.
Start with the keepers. I think I'd go with Henderson, not Jordan, the other one.
Jordan Henderson between the sticks, that'd be brilliant.
Well, fucking hell, the penalty he took yesterday. You should know how to make a few saves, the bastard.
Yeah, I probably agree with you. I'm not a fan of Pickford, man. I think he's dodgy as hell. And in fairness, Sam Johnson had a good game, but I'd say Dean Henderson in goal, yeah.
I think we're both going with Hendo, but 100% Southgate's picking Pickford, sorry.
yeah.
definitely going with Pickford, and that's purely because he likes the way he passes the ball out, I think. Some nonsense like that. But all right, then let's move on to the defence. Do you want to give your back four?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to go with Reece James because I think he's been quite good this season, or the back end of the season, especially. And coming off the half, the Champions League, I guess. And just give that defensive stability. And to partner him in defence, I've gone with Harry Maguire, even though I don't really like Harry Maguire. I don't actually know. I don't have a reasoning why, but I can't pick anyone else. And I went with Tyrone Mings, the 6'4", like lanky guy who's going to score a header against, I don't know, Hungary probably. But and yeah, to top it off, couldn't go with anyone else but Saka at left back.
Yeah, you know that. First of all, you know that's definitely not going to happen. secondly, I wouldn't play him at left back if I had him in my squad. I think he needs to be pushing forward a bit more. But I've gone similarly. I've gone with James at right back. I've got Stones in there at centre back. I think although he's got a mistake in him, I think he's had a good season, and I think his confidence will be high, you know, despite the Champions League loss. But I think he'll be playing on a high end. He'll do well in defence with Maguire, if Maguire's fit, that is.
You've gone with two losers in the who lost in the final, and that's just centre back pairing. You think that's going to work well at Euros?
Aspilicueta is Spanish, Rudiger's German, and Thiago Silva's Brazilian. So, and Christensen's Danish. So, what do you want me to do? Zuma's French. I could go on, yeah. I mean, Tomori didn't even get picked. I can't even say Tomori, but so yeah, I'd have to go with Maguire. I think Maguire, he's a leader, you know, and he'll do well marshalling that defence if he's fit. If he's not fit, then probably have to go with Mings, I think. Or maybe stick Walker at centre-back. Not sure if he fits in a four at the back, but yeah, probably Mings, I'd say, if Maguire's not fit. And the final pick would be Chilwell at left-back, because I think he's...
Of course you would, you're biased.
Excuse me, boss. What team do you support? What, Chelsea?
Yeah.
Fuck Chelsea. Chelsea, shit.
Yeah.
Fuck Chelsea, what?
Fuck you.
No, but he's had a great second half to the season. I mean, he was getting a lot of stick midway through, but towards the end, and even like in the Champions League final, he was crazy good, man. So,
yeah. I do feel I like Chilwell, so I prefer him over Shaw anyway.
Yeah, he properly kept Mahrez out of the game in that final. And I would go with Chilwell, and obviously if not Chilwell, then Shaw, I think. But yeah.
Yeah, moving on to midfield, I guess. Well, I'll tell you what I've gone for, and then I've gone for an all-out attack. So I don't care about defensive midfielders. We don't need no Declan Rice, no Jordan Henderson in that. We've just gone for pure Mason Mount, Phil Foden, Jack Grealish, three midfielders who ping a pass anywhere, is just can glide with the ball. Yeah, that's my mid-three.
See, that's the dream. That's what you want to have. That's team of the season right there. Do you know what I mean? That's when you put three attacking midfielders in team of the season. But I think you need some defensive
stability,
some sort of defensive quality in there just to help the defence out and just protect the defence. If you come up against like the likes of Croatia, they will punish you if you don't have anyone there.
What, you think Modric will be running past Mount Foden Grealish? I don't think so.
No, but think about it. If you've got three attack-minded players and they all go forward at the same time, all it takes is a breakdown in play and they get caught up the field. And you've got the likes of Perisic, Rebic, all them itches.
What? All those what?
All them itches, isn't it? All them itches going out. Yeah. And you've got to look at it. If we've got the likes of Stones and Maguire or Mings, they're going to struggle if there's a bit of pace in there, yeah? So, and imagine having, if you have like Chilwell and James also playing, attacking, going forward, it's like, yeah, it's leaving us open for disaster, really. So I think you need someone like, I've gone for Declan Rice in midfield just to offer that defensive side to the game. You know, the tough tackling. You need someone who's going to win the ball back. And then I've got
but we can see which one of us has the coaching acumen and which one of us has the fantasy acumen.
Yeah, you're just thinking about fantasy football points, isn't it? But I'd go with Mount and Foden either side of Rice. And Declan, I think
Rice.
I think they, the three of them, they've obviously grown up in the same sort of age groups as well. I think Foden's slightly younger, but they would have played together quite a bit in, you know, England under 21s and other levels. And I know Mount and Rice are very good friends, so having that sort of
relationship
might help. And then, yeah, just, I don't know, move on to the front three.
Definitely, yeah. Who have you gone for?
I've gone for Rashford, Kane and Grealish. I think Rashford needs to be starting. I think his pace and, you know, his directness and his finishing will trouble teams. I think he offers more than Sterling does. Kane is probably number one on the team sheet. You can't leave him out. The amount of goals, assists he scored this season and just generally for England, what he does for the team is just, yeah, you need to have him in there. And then Grealish on his current form, you can't leave him out, man. He's just been so good. And even in the warm-ups, he's been the best player on the pitch. So I couldn't leave him out. I think he's got a start on either side, really, left or right.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm a big fan of Jack Grealish. But because I put him in my midfield, I went for a front three of Jadon Sancho, Calvert-Lewin, because I don't really... Well, obviously, I like Kane, but, you know, I'm going to put the Spurs rivalry back into my mind here and just say, actually, Calvert-Lewin instead. And Rashford to play off him on the left wing.
So much for we all need to come together and support England.
But yeah, rivalries aside, except for the Arsenal-Spurs rivalry. So I'm glad Harry Kane's the only Spurs player that's in the squad, because I couldn't deal with if it was Dele Alli or who he used to play, Eric Dier or someone like that in the squad. Yeah, no. Ridiculous.
Definitely not. Definitely can't have Dier in the squad. But nah, Kane's got to start 100%. Do his
right. Nah,
I'm not accepting that.
It does about what you accept. It's what Southgate is going to do. And nah, he's going to play Kane. But yeah, Calvert-Lewin. Did you see the leap he got the other day? He jumping like Ronaldo.
It's like he jumped like ridiculously high, didn't he? For that ball, but
yeah, good strike to bring off the bench, definitely
good. Like, if you need a goal, bring him on, make something happen. But Sancho's a good shout. I do like that. That was what I was torn between, Sancho or Grealish, who do you play? And I think Grealish just edges it for me, because I think he makes things happen for those around him. And with
very
Foden,
different players, but yeah,
with Foden and Mount in there as well, I think they'll link up very well. But that's the only thing, is Foden and Grealish are very similar players, so they might be stepping on each other's toes a little bit. You might have to just choose one and put in another out and out winger, like a Sterling or a Sancho. But
yeah. I mean,
bench though, which is good.
That's to say, it's a strong bench, and there's some experience in there. Like Roy Keane was saying with Henderson, what's he there to do? To bring experience or card tricks? I think it's card tricks, but
he can't be right. Now, I've heard enough people say, well, they want him around the place. For what? What does he do? Car tricks? Does he has a sing song? Does he quizzes in the evenings?
It's I think, I don't know, man. I think, look, we've got a good squad, and if he gets the selection right, and honestly mean this, because if he does get it right, we could go very far. But I have a very bad feeling that he'll get it wrong.
I think it's not only that. I think it's going to be typical England, where it's just boring performances. And you look at some of the names, and even some of the names we just mentioned now. If you look at the squad list, you've got some real talent in there, some real creative players. And if he doesn't give them license to play, it could be a very boring tournament for us, to be honest with you. And
yeah,
devastating in the sense that we could get knocked out in the group stage.
Typical England as well. Like, you know, knock out in the group stage, get all that hype up, knocked out in the group stage, and Bob's your uncle.
He might be, you never know, Amma. But no, I think with England, I could see, obviously, Croatia's a tough one. If we get something out of that, even if it's a draw, then we're all right. But Scotland are going to be well up for it, playing at Wembley against the English. Tough game. They've got some decent players as well. Tierney, Robertson, Gilmore, McTominay, McGinn. So they're not, they've got Che Adams as well.
Some, yeah, fair group of, some Premier League established players in there.
Exactly. So it's not going to be an easy game. Hungary, I'm not too sure, you know.
I mean, Hungary should be a walkover, but...
But you never know in it with England.
Yeah. I mean, look, we want to be singing Football's Coming Home, but if we're not, have you got a shout for who you think will win it?
Well, obviously, first choice, you know, we want it to be England, back in England. But if it came to it and they didn't win it, I wouldn't say there's anyone that I want to win it, but I think France are probably the favourites for me, ahead of England as well. I think their squad is insane. They've won, coming off the back of a World Cup win as well.
They've just added Benzema to the mix.
They've brought back Benzema, you know, so it's going to be Giroud and Benzema having a little go-kart race.
We
win it, so that's what he said.
Mbappe's going to be refereeing that as well.
I think we just got to be a bit like, we just got to try and avoid the big teams. If we do get through the group stage, we've got to try and avoid the bigger teams if possible, as early as possible, really. Because if we get like a Portugal or a France early doors, we could be fucked.
Yeah, it's true. And in fairness, though, like I was looking at Spain's squad and I thought that's probably one of the weakest Spain teams I've ever seen.
Definitely. And they haven't included like Ramos and stuff like that. So
yeah, it's a bit of an odd one. But if there's a time for us to get quite far in the Euros, I think, you know, especially with the generation of players we have now, I think yeah, Euro 2020 in 2021 could be the year.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I think you're right. Some of the teams out there, Spain, Italy, not necessarily as strong as they have been over the years. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, you've also got to think about that. There's the Germans as well.
The Germans.
I've got a feeling we'll end up playing them at some point, and maybe it's a penalty shootout on the cards. Who knows? But as long as Jordan Henderson doesn't take a penalty, I don't mind.
I was literally going to say, you're taking the words right out of my mouth. But yeah, let's fingers crossed. And I mean, I bet our mood will be so different after we lose to Croatia. But we'll try to be optimistic as much as we can until then.
Yeah, for sure. Well, maybe you will. I don't know about me. But well, thanks for joining us again, guys, on another episode of Little Less Conversation. We're going to try our best to cover as much as the Euros as we can. So we're probably just going to start recording after every time England play. And we'll try and catch up on the other games as well.
And yeah, it'll be more likely after every time, record after every time England lose. But yeah, it should be good. Should be good Euros. And we might get the flags out, the T-shirts out, the beers will be out soon.
Yeah, hopefully. As long as you don't bring any Scotland flags, that's fine with me.
Might just bring a picture of Kieran Tierney instead.